All of the views and opinions expressed here are those of the individual speaking and may not be representative of Coding American. At times, language may be considered vulgar. Listener discretion is suggested.
What's going on? I'm Scott from Koenig. With me is Jared from Koenig, and we are back with another episode of the Wheel Wednesday Behind the Wheel podcast that we bring to you live every Wednesday, 3 p.m. Eastern. If you're coming from the lives that we do every Wednesday at 2 p.m. Eastern, welcome. Nice to see you here. And if you have any questions or whatever, start throwing them in. We'll always try to check back and see if we can get some of those things answered.
Yeah, we got a screen right there so we can see all your questions.
Well, now that you know all of our tricks from behind the scenes.
Because we are so so high class and high tech over here.
Well, I mean, you know, yeah. Jared told you about our monitor. Secrets blown.
Yeah,
well. So anyhow, with that said, you know, look, today's podcast is going to be an interesting one. It's not going to be super long, and I don't know how informative it will be for some of the relevant conversations that are happening in regards to other things related to the SEMA show. But we're going to talk about our decision and what we're doing for SEMA this year. And we're going to tell you why. Because we want that to be transparent. We want it to not come with any connotations. We've seen a lot of companies get lumped into group kind of like, oh, that's why they're doing this or that's why they're doing that.
And making assumptions before knowing the facts.
Yeah, and so I want to put them out there early, and I want to let you know. We made this decision a few weeks ago, so there's that. But we'll get into that in a moment. I want to let everybody that entered the wheel giveaway by buying a shirt on our website, store.coneywheels.com.
Whether you meant to or not.
Right, whether you met you or not, in the month of August, if you bought a shirt, a 1982 shirt from our web store there, you are eligible to win a set of wheels. We're going to be picking somebody out. Yeah, we're going to be picking somebody out. Most likely, we will mention that on the podcast. You know what? That's what we're going to do. We're going to mention it on the podcast next Wednesday.
You heard it first, ladies and gents.
So, will it be next Wednesday?
No, you said Tuesday, because after Monday. Live. Oh, I see what you're saying.
Yeah, so
we're going to figure the winner on Tuesday.
We're going to pick the winner on Tuesday.
Re-announce, I guess, on Wednesday.
And we will announce it on Wednesday. So, so stay tuned for that. Most likely, we will announce it. I'm just going to say on our YouTube channel, but I don't know if next week's podcast we'll be able to do that.
We'll find out.
So anyhow, but we will.
We know that Instagram and Facebook work. So.
Yes, yeah, stay tuned to our social stuff. It will be announced next Wednesday, definitely. So I want to say thank you for that. I also want to thank everybody for the support in that. In addition to that, I want to just mention that if you're here, if you're watching this at any point in time, please click that subscribe button, click that like button, the notification button. All those things help us to continue bringing you content. And we're not some big YouTuber front, so we don't have this, you know, crazy immense audience that we can lean on to distribute our content. So when we put up messages like giveaways or stuff here, the only way you really can find out about them is if you have that notification bell on and you're a subscriber.
There
so
you go.
That's the deal. Let's see. Piece of content is coming out on Friday, again, over here at the YouTube channel. And if you are hanging out here, make sure you check out some of our other content that we've put up previously because it's pretty good. Alex done a great job. Alex, which we know you haven't on camera met before, but he has been very contributive to most of, the videos we've put out for the past year or so. And he is departing. I think tomorrow is your last day.
I thought it was next week.
Was it?
No, you just said.
What?
I'm confused. Oh, yeah? I could have sworn this was his last week.
Yeah, me too. But we'll take you for another week. Listen, Alex is here for another week. Stay tuned next Wednesday. I'm going to make this announcement all over again. But that's good.
Clearly, we have our stuff together.
Hey, listen, I'm down. We just got another week. Anyhow,
he's over there looking at us like, what?
But with that said, if you are a content producer, if you have some video editing skills and you're in the New York area, maybe you want to come hang out with us, work with us, cool, send us a message. We want to hear from you. And if you have any friends, tag them, you know, all that good stuff. Let's get into the SEMA thing.
Let's do it. I would say this was somewhat of an internal debate on our end.
For a long time.
Yeah, I feel like every week it was a question of, so are we going? Are we not going? And,
yep.
You know, it's funny because I've had obviously a few different exhibitor companies reach out to me, given that it's the time to, you know, book these kind of things.
Yep.
And, you know, I've told a few of them that, you know, based on our decision, you know, they've asked like, oh, well, I mean, does it have anything to do, you know, with COVID and all that stuff? And it's kind of a part of it. That's I'm basically beating around the bush and saying that we're not going.
Yeah. So we made the decision this year to withdraw from the SEMA show. I want to say a few things about that. First thing is this, we've been going to the show, I believe, for 39 years. I think we have 39 years seniority. I'm just trying to remember. It's right around the 39, 40 year seniority mark.
It's a long
mark.
Time.
Yeah, where we really have been displaying and really haven't skipped a year ever. So that's number one. Number two, I do not want this to be viewed as any particular shot at SEMA as an organization, as a viewing of how we think SEMA is running the show. We had made this decision about 2.5 weeks ago, which is far before what you're going to hear people talking about on the internet as the September 1 deadline to withdraw and receive a refund. I want you to understand that there's a reason that we're only announcing it on September 1, but it has nothing to do with when our decision was made. Our decision wasn't necessarily made for the refund reason. It was made, like I said, weeks ago. But you have to understand, we didn't want to put what we're saying out there in the sphere before vendors had, you know, we didn't want to influence anybody. Not that we're so influential, you know, on our decision, like we were going to follow suit, but that's not the type of company we are. We don't want to, we want to do what's right for us, and we want people to do what's right for them. And we don't want to be ammo in somebody's loaded campaign to strike against an organization. We don't want to be the reason that somebody uses that to defend their position in not doing something or doing something.
We made an independent decision.
That's right. That's right. So I'll give you some breakdowns behind some of our thought process there, and I'll tell you what the real truth of why we're not displaying there this year. And like I said, you know, we've never withdrawn from SEMA ever. And
like we did the digital version last year,
yeah,
right?
Yep. So
even digitally,
even last year, you know, when SEMA said, like, fairly last minute, it was only maybe 2 months, you know, after they had announced the show would cancel, it was like 2 months before it would go, and they basically said, hey, we're going to have a virtual thing. We're not exactly sure what it's going to be, but, you know, whatever. So we even did that. I don't think that was successful at all by any measure of a goal stick, with the exception of, I think it was an experience that people needed to have to understand whether they really felt there was a place for trade shows to currently exist in a physical sense. Because the one thing that was always swirling out there was, you know, as technology got better, was the fact that people could make the argument, you know, we could do this virtually and save all these people a lot of money. we know that a virtual show is not the same. It's just not. It's not the same. So, you know, look, you know, from that perspective, we even did that show knowing that there probably wouldn't be much ROI. There was not. And we did that just because, again, SEMA is part of what we do. Mm-hmm. But this year it is different. Now, last year, obviously, they canceled the show due to the COVID, you know, issues that were happening. They waited a really long time to try to have a show. They were kind of very determined the same way that they are this year. Mm-hmm. And ultimately, it was the city's rule. I mean, the county and the county and the state's rulings that made that show have to pull, you know, withdraw and close down. Right. Also, PRI went right before them, which I think as soon as you do that, it's impossible for SEMA to then deny.
And PRI happens after SEMA, right?
PRI happens after SEMA.
Okay.
And there was a lot of shows that were canceling up then. But so the reason that this year really stands out is, one, obviously, there is this Delta thing that is swirling around. Now, I don't want to have a political conversation. I don't want to talk whether you agree with it or you do. I don't want to take a position about people should be vaccinated or not. I don't want to take a position of whether you should wear a mask or not. I want to talk about facts and how we looked at this and how we arrived at this decision. Number one, there will be a mask mandate at the very least at this stage. Mm-hmm. For Clark County, where Las Vegas is situated in, and the Las Vegas Convention Center. In addition to that, SEMA has made the comment that they will follow whatever mandates are in place. They will not do more. They will not do less. So, like I said, there will not be COVID checks at the door. There will not be temperature checks at the door. There will not be anything other than a mask mandate, which Clark County has put into play. Now, you might be saying to me, that's ridiculous. Why would they do a COVID thing at the door? Well, because I want to tell you what the partner show that happens the same exact time that you may not know about, which is Apex. Mm. Apex happens right down the street at the same time. They are partner shows, and Apex has made the announcement that they will require vaccination. They will require masks. And if you don't have a vaccination, they will require a negative COVID test. Mm-hmm. There has even been the talk of, for people that are coming all the other places, that there could be rapid testing sites at the door. Mm-hmm. That Apex could put. So SEMA's not doing that. If you have a mask at this stage right now, and we're September 1, 2021, If you have a mask, you will be permitted into the show. Hmm. So that is one. Now, without getting too detailed, because I don't really think it's necessary, and I think it's whatever. We have people that work for us that would have to be traveling and away for the week, and in hotels and in restaurants and in different places that are immunocompromised. We also have people that work within this organization that expressed concern. Whether they're vaccinated or not is not the point that we're trying to go. But they had concern about going to an area like Nevada, Las Vegas, where they are right now experiencing a large number, percentage-wise, of COVID cases in that area. Mm-hmm. Where they would be traveling with people from all over the world, where they would be, you know, in a situation where they're going to be talking and close to people all over the world, where they would be wearing masks all day long, where it's already hard enough to have conversations with people at SEMA without a mask. And the list goes on. It does. I would lie to you, but the first and foremost, the biggest part of this decision had everything to do with our staff and our employees. Listen, they are a family. They're a family, and we act as a family, and you know, and it would be extremely, in my opinion, it would have been extremely difficult to tell people, we understand your concerns. We understand that you could, you know, let's say potentially get sick. We understand that, you know, you don't feel comfortable.
But you have to go.
But you have to go. So it's just not a position we're willing to make. It's not a position we're willing to take with our staff. When we felt that there was enough people that really leaned on the side of either being uncomfortable or being cautious, mm-hmm. That was enough for us to make it a decision. So I want you to understand big picture. We have never pulled or withdrawn from SEMA ever. And this year, we're doing it because of the implications that it may or may not have on our staff. I feel personally a little bit of that missing out thing, right?
FOMO. Like,
yeah, sure, okay. I mean, yeah. I feel a little bit like, hey, I've done this every single year that I've been employed here. I enjoy SEMA Week for the sake that what's going on, Scott? Mm-hmm. I enjoy SEMA Week for the sake that I get to not only see a lot of cool car stuff, but that I get to catch up with people that I usually see only a few, if that, times a year from all over the world. International travel is completely down as far as people are going to be attending the show from outside the country. Mm-hmm. So, you know, so we could talk. We'll talk about the show itself in a few minutes. But, yeah, I mean, look, and so now let's talk about the September 1 deadline. Just to bring people up to speed, when it comes down to what the deadline was this year, SEMA knew that there could potentially be exhibitors that would be on the fence. They knew that there was a potential that with things getting worse or not, maybe they were going to get better by this time, because remember, they have to plan this so far out.
Right. They wanted to have the flexibility to get a refund.
To give people kind of a no-pressure option to start out, and if things aren't going your way, to be able to withdraw without really penalty.
Because I mean, just to sound like Captain Obvious, if they said like you have to, you know, there is no refund deadline,
right.
The likelihood is that they didn't want to risk having more people pull out. Right?
Yeah. Look, I mean, I would imagine that obviously is definitely the case. But like I said, I don't want to be too derogatory in any sense.
Oh no, and I was just stating a.
So, but what I'm going to say is, based off of that same fact, I'm going to say that SEMA did it with the intention of making it easier for vendors to feel comfortable.
Oh, 100%.
Right? Like, I'm going to say it from SEMA's, like, SEMA Cares point of view, rather than it was a money grab decision. We're going to assume in this position that SEMA did it with the intention of trying to do the right thing for vendors and give them an out without any penalty if they felt they needed one. Okay. So that deadline, and the reason I'm going into this deadline so much, and again, I don't want to get into it too much, is SEMA went live yesterday. There was a bunch of other people that have made some comments. I think that there's a lot of people that will, I think SEMA, my personal opinion, SEMA will have a show this year. I think a lot of people will go to the show this year. I think you're going to see a disruption in, certainly a disruption in international exhibitors. I think you're going to see a show that's much more spread out and not nearly as many booths as you've seen previously. But you have to understand, they also added a tremendous amount of square footage with the addition of the West Hall this year, which is across the street from North Hall at the convention center. So, you know, it won't feel as tight anyway. It wouldn't have felt as tight anyway unless they really had, you know, grown the show so much, which I don't think is seem as even close to expectation in a year like this. In an ideal year, like COVID didn't happen and we keep going down the road of having a show in 2020 and 2021, I think 2021 could have potentially been like just a record breaking show.
Right.
Whether that makes sense for people or not, I think the potential implausibility was certainly there. So the September 1 deadline is, you know, like everybody's like rushing to look at the floor plan, which you can see by going to SEMAShow.com, and you can look and see which exhibitors are in and which ones are for the most part out. I checked this morning. It looks like it was updated this morning. So it's fairly accurate. I think you have to make your own deductions when you look at that floor plan, what you think about the size of the show, the exhibitors that are left, and that's not the right wording. I didn't use the right wording. The exhibitors that are displaying this year. And I think you have to, you know, kind of make your own judgment calls. Don't read people's internet comments and make a determination what you think. I would
say that for anything these days.
Yeah. I don't think that this decision is a one size fits all decision. I think every company will have their own factors as to whether it's a good idea or not for them to show and display.
Well, but maybe there are also other alternatives, you know, like maybe, you know, companies just don't bring as many staff or, you know, or they don't have, you know, as big and, you know, extensive of a booth as they usually do. Like,
right.
I feel like it's not necessarily black and white. There are, you know, potentially some middle grounds and gray areas, right?
Absolutely.
Didn't want to, you know, risk it.
Yeah, I mean, I think we're not the company. Like, we're a fairly tight company. There's a few other issues that are out there. I think if you explore the option of even going with partial staff, one, you know, every staff member here is important to us to be able to provide you with the service that you need from us. And, you know, even having a few people, you know, God forbid they were to get sick or even have a setback or even have to have no symptoms and have to somehow test positive or something where they had a mandatory isolation period. These things would be pretty detrimental to us providing the same service to you. And that business disruption is something that obviously we had a great concern for. I think that when it comes down to limiting your booth space and different things like that, I think you have to make a decision as a company. And I think one of the things that we did was we were calling some of our customers, some of our buyers, some of the people that we make it a point to be at the show for. And
to have these meetings,
yeah,
among other things.
Right. To have these meetings, to be able to, you know, let them see product that's new in person. And when some of them aren't going, or when, you know, they're on the fence or et cetera, I think it's another, not one of these things made a decision, but it's another, like, you know, drop in the bucket, and eventually you're like, wait a minute, this is stacked up really high compared to here. Well, but
yeah,
overall, main decision was made, you know, pretty much, no, the main decision was made based off of the health and the safety of our employees.
Now, just out of sheer curiosity, and I mean, this is probably a hypothetical question, but
yeah,
in terms of the companies that are choosing to still
display.
Exhibit. Yep. Display. Mm-hmm. I wonder how much of it simply has to do with the fact that, like, we've just been locked down for, you know, almost 2 years or a year and a half. Or, like, it's totally hypothetical. There's no real way of answering it. But, like, I'm just curious how many – I wonder how many of these companies just literally want to get out and, like, see the, you know, the show again now that, you know, there
well,
are
– I think that logic works well for buyers, attendees. I don't think it works well for exhibiting companies because I'll tell you right now, I know a lot of companies and I know a lot of people that have differing opinions on different things. I think the one common stance that they all have is that nobody's going to spend, you know, tens of thousands or hundreds of thousands of dollars because they want to, you know, get back to being outdoors, you know what I mean?
Okay,
or indoors somewhere else. But like I don't speak for everybody. I don't know. I mean, there's a lot of privately owned companies and you're absolutely right. They may have the stance of like, we're going back to normal regardless of what it is, and we're gonna show and this is the way it's gonna be and that's how I feel and they have every right to do so. And yeah. You know, I hope everybody has a good show. I hope SEMA has a good show. Like, what people don't understand is that we have one main organization, you know, body mm-hmm. that represents the aftermarket industry, the automotive aftermarket industries, and SEMA is it. And, you know, look, if SEMA suffers, and I imagine that losing a show two times when it is a big part of their budget to bring in income, losing a show twice in a row would be hurtful to them. Now, I've heard people say things like, if that show didn't happen again this year, they would go under. That I don't believe that to be true. By any means,
but I'm just really curious to the people that are saying that.
Yeah,
like, are SEMA's financial records public? Like, how are you making?
No, I don't think so.
So, like, how?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. They're like internet. They're internet things. Listen, this is why SEMA had to do. SEMA doesn't do lives. Tom from SEMA yesterday had a live where he addressed a bunch of different rumors that were on the internet. The reason that he had to do that was because of the fact that there were so many misconceptions getting thrown around. Everything from they're going to be COVID testing at the door to if you're not vaccinated, you can't come to the show. To like, and these are all things that they've been putting on their website and on social media for a while, explaining the different you know, things that they're going to do and their safety procedures and...
But newsflash, nobody reads anymore.
Well, look, like I said, I don't want to get super derogatory in any sense. But you know, look, I want to provide...
That's fair.
I want to provide clarity to what we did and why we did it. I think... It's really difficult if we don't put this statement out there, if we don't explain our full thought for why we're not attending this year. I think, there's so many people that the same way the rumor mill ended up about SEMA and when they're being so upfront about what they're doing,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I think that, you know, that same thing could happen, you know, with us and we'd rather just tell you what's going on than for people just to be like, why isn't Koenig on the floor plan?
Yeah.
You know? So that's the deal. I don't think there's really a ton more about it. I think we could talk a lot about the SEMA show and different things they're doing and things that they're not doing and, you know, how do we personally feel about the attendance and whether it's going to be a good show and it's going to be worth the ROI or all those different things. I think we can have those conversations. But at the end of the day, they're all opinions.
Yeah, I mean, I would say the only thing to potentially add to the discussion,
yep,
you know, or you know, potentially inquire about is, you know, I think a lot of people are now wondering, I feel like I've seen DMs about it or something, but like, what are we going to do now that we're not going to SEMA? I don't know if that's something that we can, you know, graze in terms of, sure, you know, the topic, yeah, or whatever, but yeah, you know.
So what we did last year, which was the first time for us, and I thought it was extremely interesting, was we held a live event. We held a live event. It was one day, and no, that's not right. We went live for all 4 days of the virtual show, for like an hour a day. And we told you in advance what we were going to talk about, and we answered questions, and we did announcements on different things and different projects, and we showed you some things. And
this was in addition to the Wheel Wednesday, or
yeah, this has nothing to do with the Wheel Wednesday. Okay. So we did all that stuff. We did all that stuff, and I'd imagine we're gonna try to do something like that again. I don't know that it's going to be – in fact, I'm going to be pretty confident and say it's not going to be the same days as SEMA. Mm-hmm. But we will keep you in the loop and let you know when we plan to, you know, kind of do some of these live reveals. It may be only one day for a few hours. It may be something different. I'm not sure. We haven't gotten in there yet. We're still trying to get, you know, a lot of things situated. And obviously this was – a last minute turn, even though we've been talking about it for so long, it was a last minute turn that we had to really think about, and it took a lot of time, and SEMA is a show that takes months to plan, so we were working on everything we needed to do right up into the moment we said, all right, we're not going formally, mm-hmm, internally. Because you have to keep going, because if you stop, then what ends up happening is if you end up deciding to go, you're super behind the eight ball. Mm-hmm. So Scott Hollingsworth says, being that it's a month away, does this mean guys won't likely be a PRI yet? Yeah, so we don't go to PRI. We've been before, mm-hmm, but we usually don't go to PRI. You know, PRI is really shaped into being a hard parts racing industry show. And yes, we're a hard parts company, I guess, to an extent. But because it's not something you're going to find a ton of wheel companies at. You know, SEMA is usually the show that we end up at. So I don't think we won't be a PRI. I think... You know, I don't know what's going to happen with this COVID thing. I mean, everybody talks about it. And, you know, I'm not even just talking about the concern for getting ill. But, you know, there is a legitimate concern from a lot of people, for a lot of people. And you have the issues that, you know, with international travel and a bunch of different things. And listen, if you, regardless of how you feel, there are many countries around the world that are epically struggling with COVID right now. And I don't mean like they have a lot of case numbers. I mean
they hospitals don't have enough hospital beds.
Full. No ventilators, no oxygen tanks, no place to bury the bodies. Like people being left outside in the street in some of these third world countries. Like this is it's a problem that can run rampant, and we have the luxury of having a entirely different medical system, and it's a privilege. And if you, regardless of how you feel, regardless of if you have any, you know, political things to say about this, mandates, vaccinations, again, not talking about that, yeah. But I believe everybody should have their own personal opinion. I'm not swaying one way or another. But you have to admit that the United States probably has one of the best healthcare systems in the world. I'm not saying that there's not other countries that have, you know, better per capita or anything like that. I'm just saying that we're right up there with some of the best in the world as far as our healthcare systems.
Yeah.
And the abundance of health healthcare options we have, right? Like, I mean, just think about it like this. Per capita, if you go into, let's say, bad example, but like the Philippines or something like that, I think we would be able to have access to way more hospitals and resources here in the States than they would have.
Probably, yeah.
It's a guess, but I guess that's my takeaway from this. There are some countries I know, like especially in like a lot of Asian countries right now. There's, you know, Malaysia, Indonesia, you know, the Philippines. I know Japan's struggling with it, although I think that they're, you know, starting to turn the corner. They have, I don't want to get into that, but you have a lot of Asian countries that are really, 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 really struggling. You know, with this virus. And when you start seeing those people go around the world, and our borders are open, then you really start to see that this could become a bigger problem that goes on. Yes, I know about the flu. Yes, you get flu shots. Yes, sometimes they're effective. Yes, the flu can kill people. It just seems that, you know, at this stage, I don't know if it will be one. I don't believe this is going to be something that's going to be eradicated. So I think at some point we're all going to have to.
It's not like polio where you know, where everybody gets vaccinated.
Right.
So
I just think at some point we're all going to have to figure out how to deal with this. But, you know, it's a delicate subject. And while it's a delicate subject, we have to always side with our employees, with our staff, and, you know, with our family. And that's what we did. Koenig stood behind their employees and wanted to make sure that they were, that the right decision was made for them personally, regardless of what the outcome on business was.
Yeah. I mean, I think the only other thing we could potentially, you know, touch on in terms of, you know, subject wise is what?
Nothing. Go ahead.
You know, Chris, B is for Build, one of his first videos with the R34/35 GTR, he was saying like, oh, it's gonna be at the SEMA booth. So I wonder
at the Koenig booth, yeah.
Sorry, at the Koenig booth. So like, yeah. I wonder how, you know, builders like him are sort of shifting and focusing their priorities. Yeah.
So I would imagine that in the next coming days, I don't know, you know, and I haven't been able to, I don't know if Chris put up a video lately. I know he was, you know, away. But I would imagine in the coming days, you're going to hear Chris comment on that and what his plans will be. So I don't really want to touch upon what I know from conversations that I've had with Chris.
Yeah.
Right? Like, I obviously know what we spoke about.
Well, no.
So I don't want to throw that out there, but I know where you're getting. I'm,
okay.
I'm going there.
All right.
But what I will say before we even get into that point is that you're right. It was the first time in the time I've been here I ever had to be the reason that we canceled on somebody when we had said, "Hey, you're going to be in our booth," and that was extremely disappointing. And you know, it was a letdown. And, you know, when I called Chris, I felt extremely bad. And when I told him the news, you know, I really felt like, you know, we let him and the B is for Build viewers down, because it was an opportunity to, you know, we did it once with him before with the Datsun, the 240 and it was a great, great experience, I think, for both of us. And, you know, I have a tremendous amount of admiration and respect for Chris and what he does and how genuine he is, you know, in front of the camera and behind the camera. And I just think that, you know, as disappointed as I was and as heartfelt as I, you know, as we really did feel about having to do that, it was what we had to do. And I will say that Chris could not have been more gracious or understanding. He was just, you know, he completely understood. And, you know, he was going to look into some other options. And I told him I would help out in any way. And I think you're going to find a fair amount of builders that will happen in the next, you know, few days. I heard something about somebody mentioning that SEMA might do an extension again on the deadline to get a refund or something like that. So it may extend some of these decisions, but at some point, whenever this deadline comes, if you whatever companies do decide to withdraw, I do think that you're going to have builders and car owners and et cetera that have booth placements that have been confirmed that are going to lose those spots. And I don't know what the fix for that is. I think some people that have good relationships, they'll pivot to other booths. Mm-hmm. I think you're going to find that, you know, I don't know if SEMA is going to take those booth vehicle applications and then say, I tell you what, if you were with this company, we'll provide you with some extra space inside the show to be almost like a feature vehicle.
Yeah.
But, you know, I don't know what they're going to do. I don't know if they know what they're going to do at this point. I do know that for many sponsors and for vehicle builders, this could be a disappointing year for them.
Yeah. I mean, I wouldn't want to be on that end, you know, especially, you know, with someone like Chris, just as an example, who really like gives his all for these things.
Yeah, you know, but he's gonna, really... you know, Chris is good at Chris. I mean, you know, I don't want to sound callous because I'm not. I'm very, you know, I'm not happy.
You're a realist.
Yeah, but I'm not happy with the decision. Like, I don't like to let anybody down. We really support everybody we can. It means a lot to us to come through. But, you know, I think Chris is, you know, he's got so much going on. And whether he finds a home for this car at SEMA or not, I think he's going to build it. It's going to do really well. And I think that this won't be as big of a letdown to his fans as maybe it is to Chris. Chris really enjoys that crescendo ending at the end of a build. And when I will tell you that, you know, for those that don't know this, I put a lot of vehicles in the booth. We've done unveils, we've done things, we've done unveils for Honda and Nissan and Ford. And GM. We've done these big unveils and been part of that whole thing when they unveil a car for us or we unveil something that's new or and they're cool. I will say that working with Chris to unveil, I mean, even though you guys saw it, you know, as on his channel, but to bring that car to SEMA and let people see what it looked like in person, it was a magical experience.
I can't even imagine.
Yeah. It was a magical experience. Not just because Chris was there, it was, you know, you watched the videos, you saw the car kind of get built, it was almost at the finish line, then he brought the car to SEMA, then it was in our booth, then he put up the video of him in the booth with the finished car. You know, you saw in real time, you saw this car go from whatever state it was in to being in the booth. People that came by, they were fascinated to see the real workmanship, what it looks like in person. They were fascinated to see the car itself. They were happy to be able to meet Chris. He spent a lot of time in our booth, hanging out, talking to people, taking pictures, signing things. If you know Chris, you know that when you walk around with him, he gets more people coming up to him and trying to take pictures of him and stuff like that than majority of all the celebrities that will be at the show. So he's got a great following. Wherever he goes, there's a crowd. And it's an exhausting day for him. And the fact that he spent so much time in our booth talking to people and hanging out with people, it really was a pretty magical thing. And I was excited to have it happen again. But, you know, so be it life. And that's the deal. So we've been ranting for like 40-something minutes, and I think that we
I think now we've probably exhausted it.
Now, right. And now we've exhausted all of our things. Yeah.
Because Scott said so.
It sounds good. Hi to Oh, I'm going to butcher your name. That's bad. Siddharth? Well, Siddharth, if I didn't pronounce that right, I apologize, but hello.
Hello to you.
So that's it. We hope you understand. We hope that, you know, if you see this and anybody's bringing up these random things, you know, throw them the video. You have any other questions, hit us up. We'll be back here next Wednesday. We're definitely announcing the winner of the giveaway from the shirt contest, the shirt sweep, whatever you call it, giveaway, on Wednesday, next Wednesday. So tune in for that. And the question is, will it be on the podcast or will it be before the podcast and live on our Instagram or Facebook? Just stay tuned to our social media. We'll let you know like the day before how we're going to do it. Anyhow, that's it. Take care of yourself. Have a really, really, really good Labor Day weekend. Try to enjoy it. Try to get out there, do some cool car stuff. Hopefully I didn't mess up your day. And
I don't know why you would, but okay.
What?
I said I don't know why you would mess up someone's day.
No, Ida.
Oh, Ida.
The hurricane.
Got it.
There was a hurricane. Understood. He thinks I thought I was going to mess up your day. Come on.
And on that note.
Come on. You saw this guy cruising through? Wouldn't you be like, now it's Labor Day? Anyhow, we'll catch you next week. Take care of yourself.